Hello, everyone. This is Matt Ritter, and we're continuing with our Flex discussions, building off the momentum from World Pork Expo. In the last podcast, David and I did, we talked about starting to have conversations with our account managers to share learnings in the field, and using
Yes.
this as a vehicle to quickly spread those learnings so they can be leveraged by all. So today I am joined by Dan Weiss. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Matt.
So Dan, you and I had a conversation. I think it was in the food line at World Pork Expo, and you were telling me about a Flex story and some trial and error you had to do in the field. And as I traveled back from Pork Expo, had conversations with all of our account managers, I picked up this is a need from the team, wanting to hear those scenarios where maybe, you had to work at it, try some things through the school of hard knocks to figure out how to land the plane with the Flex transition. So can you share just a little bit of background about the customer we're going to be discussing and help the team understand more about the situation?
Yeah, so account is Hymer Farms. We have a pretty long history of them going back to 2011, roughly. Probably started selling them feed 13 or 14. So they've had a fairly sizable nursery. Alan Adams owns that nursery, runs it. They place roughly 6,000 pigs a week in that nursery. It's actually three quad style barns. So history of that, he's been feeding Kalmbach there in that nursery. Well, John and I weighed, we did a trial, had to have been back in 2014, roughly right after Flex Start, the original Flex Start came out. We did a trial there. He not only nurseries a big majority of pigs for Heimerls, but he also does some of their service crew work. So he's out in barns that we feed. So he's been exposed to products like FIRST. We've worked together on a project where we were having some issues, some management type things. And so in learning through that, he said, "Hey, I love the FIRST product. I love the way your product smells, the way the pigs get up and eat." And but we just never been able to basically break through a way of getting him feed. So November 25 comes around, and Alan traditionally, from a death loss standpoint, he's going to be under 2%. Those pigs stay in the nursery 28 days. It's a short term. So, and as I just talked to him here today, as he puts it, every day in his nursery is critical because he doesn't have 42 days. He has 28 days, and he stresses to his employees that every day is critical. They have to have feed, they have to have water, they have to be gotten up. So kind of the process Alan goes through, they're getting those pigs up five times a day, so they're doing all the little things right, grueling, making sure every pig has feed, and separating off the small end of the pigs and treating them accordingly. So they do everything by the book the way you would want it done. So kind of come around, like I said, he was averaging below 2% death loss. And starting in 2025, it looked like death loss started to pop up a little bit. He was over 2% kind of through July. And then kind of in that August, December range, he was up knocking on the door 3%, which for him is way out of his range. So, and really most of that was accounted from a hemolytic E. coli, F18. They typed it. Since then, we know that there's sapovirus in there, fairly high CT count, down in the teens. There's some rotavirus as well that those two are getting taken care of through some vaccine changes. Also, interesting enough, Dr. Terry Specht had suspected there was some iron deficiencies, and she started looking into that. And now they are giving another iron shot to help those pigs to not be anemic as they come in the nursery. So, some different things going on there, but primarily Alan's problem was just this scour that was pigs were dirty, pens were, as he puts it, 16th of an inch, just liquid manure everywhere, fallback pigs. So we got the opportunity there in November to through Gerber and Sons milling to finally be able to put some feed in there. And that was the time we were hadn't quite come out with a Protect Pack yet, but we were able to get Flex Base and Protect Pack into the mill. So basically we formulated that coming in at a 118 digestible lysine Protect Pack, put an extra pound of Provent.
Obviously, it sounds like you've got a co-infection situation going on there, but they are doing a
Yes.
lot to try to manage that. And, numbers look pretty good. Can you walk us through how you landed on FlexBase and that Protect Pack and what some of the other options you were considering in that November timeframe?
Yeah, so if I back up to July, we had a flow of pigs that we were experiencing some scours. This obviously was before Protect Pack was out. So what, we basically took Flex Start, and in their system today, they use a one phase Flex, well, it's Flex Base now, Flex Start at that point, covering a 13-pound budget with 2 pound of HE and half a pound, quarter of a pound of EW ahead of that. So we got in some E. coli issues there. So what did we do? We lowered the lysine, we added oats, and basically tried to take Flex Start and make it into something like a Flex Protect, kind of back to that one base fits all kind of thing, and try to fit it to the situation.
So you were Protect
So,
before Protect was a thing, is what I'm hearing, Dan.
right, added Provent and went to a two phase to where we could break that phase up, get them on ground feed a little quicker. And that was helpful. Alan was involved in that, so he got to see a little bit of that as well. And it did, it they had some fairly high death loss numbers, and we were able to bring that down and get those pigs back into at least a range that was more acceptable. So, as we moved into this situation with what we knew about Flex Protect and the way it was put together, it just made sense to not try to fit Flex Start into that round hole again.
Yeah.
I'm trying to pound it in. So thankfully we were able to get the Protect Pack in there and give it a try. And Ben, like I said, was very successful. Alan pays attention to details and pays attention to the number of pigs scouring, what they have to treat, those kind of things. And every pig they have to treat, it's just more work for them. So if we can get them to an environment where that is cut down, that's what we were after. So after kind of a couple months on that, we were headed in the right direction, looked like everything was really running well. They had instituted a vaccine at the sow farm that kind of around about in discussions. And this would have been about March, or yeah, March, early March. Wanted to try to cut the feed cost down to try to help pay for that vaccine.
What were we vaccinating for, Dan?
E. coli.
Nicola? Okay.
Yeah. It's one of those things that the first vaccinated pigs were coming in about the beginning of March. And I said, hey, let's at least wait until every pig is vaccinated before we go back to drive. And so we got that done. Everything was looking good. We made the change back to drive. And so two changes, went to drive, and then I increased the lysine from a 118 to a 126, thinking we'd be okay. Now, so a little background on these pigs are consuming, and I checked with Alan here again today. We're getting 4.25 pounds in those pigs at 10, around 10 days.
Okay.
So we're 4 tenths strong on intake on the general population of pigs. And, so as I thought through that, that's the one thing I wish I had not have done. I wish I had not have made that variable change in lysine level and just gone to the drive. 2, 3 weeks into that, talked to Alan. He said, hey, we've got a lot more scours. The pens are now covered again. Pigs are, went from 50% scour rate to probably 100% scour rate. We need to change that. And I said, okay. And that was my fear. So in doing a lot of talking and to the vet, to Dr. Terry, to Alan, to Matt, what's the goal? What are we really shooting for here? Are we trying to reduce the scours to zero? What is it that target we're trying to hit? Well, so scour reduction, really, that's really the biggest goal there, is to get
Okay.
that scour down so those pigs are not fighting that. That's kind of really where, after talking to Buddy, to Devin, trying to go, what lysine level do we want to run? And I said, well, let's just take this thing to a 105 and let's see how much we can reduce that scour rate. When you
Yeah.
look at a grams of lysine, and kind of going back to our trials,
Yeah.
if we're running a 135 at 2 tenths of a pound a day, week one, we're getting like 1.2 pound or 1.2 grams of lysine a day. If I'm at 4 tenths and a 105, I'm getting 191. If I'm at 4,500, so I'm getting two. So I'm almost double the grams of lysine. So I look back, and when we went to the drive at a 126, we're somewhere 2, 3, 2, 4 grams, which, so as we talked about that, is it the grams of lysine that's
Yeah.
pushing that pig over the edge, or, excess nitrogen? What is it? But that
Yeah.
intake is certainly different.
If you think about that, you've got that undigested excess protein going to the hindgut, potentially feeding pathogens. So that's typically what pushes us towards lower lysine levels in these enteric challenges. And I think this PERS wrinkle of intake dropping 50% is challenging that thought process a little bit. But
Right.
Dan, as you and I talked, I think it's almost like feeding lactating sows, right? And comparing winter lysine grams to summer, as those intake levels change, just to try to get understand where we at on a apples to apples basis.
Yeah, so I think the lesson here, at least that we're learning at this point, talking to him today, we are probably down to 30% scour rate in the Gen Pop pigs. There's a small end to the pigs from one sow farm that's doing exactly what less than 8 pound pigs do. They die at a higher rate and they have more scours. So taking them out, but if we look at the Gen Pop, those pigs are, we're down to about a 30% scour rate, which, is that good enough? I think the Sapo thing is an interesting piece that I didn't understand how that Sapo virus kind of interacts with an E. coli. And those high CT counts, I mean, it was very viremic. So it'll be interesting to see once the new rotavirus vaccine and the Sapo virus vaccine get implemented all the way through, how much more synergistic effect the Provent, the Protect Pack will have when we're not fighting those other co-infections potentially. But definitely making the switch back. My gut told me that that was the right thing to do, and we were going to have success with it because of what we saw before. Yeah, I think we've made tremendous leap on that. So it's just, we're kind of down to the fine-tuning piece now of understanding the intake. And then if we could get some weights out of the nurseries, hopefully we'll get to that point. Alan does not feel like we've given up any ground on weight going out. So it'd be interesting to play with that. If we get that kind of intake, how much can we really drop that thing and still get pigs to perform well, but yet reduce that scour? In a 105, there's just not a whole lot of meal left in that diet.
And just to clarify, Dan, when you got challenged to fix the scours, you said you took lysine down to 105. I just want to clarify, you went back to protect at that stage, right?
Yes, right.
You went to back to protect in 105. And I think this is a likely scenario that's going to happen with Flex is you get some success with protect and producers are going to push back on how, hey, when can we cheapen these diets up and reduce some of that cost? And here's a prime example of, hey, we went there, we were able to pivot quickly, but the pig is telling us that's not the right thing to do.
Right.
I think it's a very important kind of case study to share and talk through. And as you've been going through this, I think it was a week ago here, we shared the Blue River E. coli challenge data. How do you plan to use that data, Dan, as you navigate through these discussions with Alan and Heimerl?
I guess if you kind of back up a step and look at the data that we already have just from being able to weigh all those individual pigs and understand death loss by either birth weight, wean weight, that for Alan, that was a big revelation for him to be able to understand. He knew that intuitively, but to be able to marry that data together with what he actually saw on the farm, that was really big. That was very, very helpful. It helps him validate when you're in the position of rejecting pigs, grading pigs. Now you got some very subjective pieces that you can go back to and say, well, here's what data says, here's what I'm seeing as far as the ability to call that out to the, basically onto the wean pig side. But so I guess taking that forward, to the Blue River data, I've got a case here where I'm going to try to get that in front of a prospect and do rock sired pigs, and I think it's very fascinating that right now they are challenged with PERS. How do we take that high lysine value and show that value there, but also without scouring the pigs? And I think that data is going to be perfect to be able to differentiate us from a McNess or other feed companies that one doesn't have that kind of data, two doesn't have the ability to pivot based on formulation. I think it's perfect fitting the description of Flex. It gives you the ability to be able to pivot and change what you're doing on a dime.
Well, when you were talking through when you made that pivot to, okay, we're going to go back to Flex Drive and we're going to dial up lysine, and then you had that, okay, we got too much looseness, we got to change. As I was thinking back to my days at Cargill, that was a panic situation. You were going back to the drawing board trying to create a new diet base mix, and then you were trying to get it priced and then trying to see how soon you could get it into the mill. Here, I'm assuming this was a much quicker flip of the switch to to get back on to protect.
It was a matter of getting it on a truck and getting it over there to the mill. And you bring up an interesting point, Matt, because I hadn't, or I thought about this, but hadn't thought back through the implications. When Kalmbach lost the first two barns, obviously they didn't want to lose them, so they were trying to figure something out. That was where they were. They were stuck. They could not figure out what to do different. They were told, hey, we don't want, they were feeding pellets all the way through. We don't want a pellet. We want to be on mash feed. They couldn't figure out how to do it. That's interesting that they couldn't come up with a solution. We were able to pivot very quickly.
And when you go with set it and forget it, it is very hard to react to changing customer needs. A lot of times that whole pricing, don't underestimate the whole pricing process on new diets and getting them made and getting them on trucks. I mean, you could have 2 weeks just trying to work through internal bureaucracy on getting new diets out. So I think it's a huge advantage we've got, and we probably haven't thought about too much.
That is a component. How do you market that?
I mean, it's outstanding ability to adapt, I think, is how I would market it, right? Of, hey, we don't, we've learned some things on feeding pigs in different scenarios, but there's always the trial and error process and trying to, get this tuned in for your system. And, like in this case, you started with Protect and made some progress, and they wanted to tinker, and you could move that. I mean, you had two or three different iterations, maybe even four iterations of this program to get to where you are today. I think that's going to be one of our biggest competitive advantages going forward, is how we can work through this to dial it in for a producer.
Yeah, I agree. For what came out on paper, there was many discussions and several hours of thinking through what the right approach would be. A lot of that goes back to, conversations with John Summers and Devin
Yeah.
and Buddy, and the whole tech service crew.
Producer understanding the pig, leveraging the strength of the team, weighing out pros and cons. Whereas I'm assuming Kalmbach had one program, and when it didn't work anymore, they had to go back running back to R&D to try to create something from scratch.
Yeah, they never did come up with a suitable solution.
And I'm guessing Alan's not going to forget that either.
No, I don't think so. I mean, he had a very good relationship with them and probably still does. The breakaway from that, I'm sure, was not easy,
Yep.
as none of those are. But I think through a series of events that, over the years that we've been able to help on different situations, probably gave him some confidence that we'd be able to come in and have some, at least offer some help. And I think the opportunity there last summer probably at least started to put that seed of thought, that we could work together and come up with some ideas and some solutions. That was probably really helpful.
Well, I think we're up on time here, Dan, but I certainly appreciate you taking the time to kind of share this journey you've been on with Alan and Heimerl. I think there's a lot of good nuggets to pull out of here and leverage across our account teams and other customer scenarios. Again, some of those key themes we heard was really understanding the need of the customer, leveraging the team to come up with the best solution, but then being ready to pivot as the needs of the system change. And I think one thing you did that was very important was qualify what success looked like, and that narrowing it down to scour reduction and really being able to tailor the program to deliver that. And I'm assuming that as new vaccines get introduced, it'll be a moving target again, and you'll have to continue to work to stay on top of that. But I think a great success story here coming off a World Pork Expo. We've got a lot of momentum building. And for any of our listeners out there, if you've got similar case studies you'd like to share, let me know, and we'll get you up next on the recording here to share with the team. And lastly, I want to remind everybody of the Barn Heroes nomination. We talked about Alan potentially being a fit there, but let's make sure that we get those nominations into David Kane. So again, Dan, thank you for your time and for sharing your expertise with us. And keep selling, everybody. Have a good week. Appreciate it.